Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello, Lovejoy. Are you there?
I certainly am. Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast, sponsored by Cooker, spelt quicker, pronounced cooker, 100-degree, boiling hot water, straight from your kitchen tap. Today's podcast is a mini quarantine compilation.
Woohoo!
Could you explain it, please, Mark?
Okay. Well, I found some clips from yesteryear from old podcasts that we've done. We've been going for 3 years now. We've got 160-odd podcasts. And I picked out a few bits and pieces that would make people laugh, that would explain your acceptance thing, which comes up quite a lot. And also you talking about the specials, which I thought you would like very much. And a little tiny clip at the end of us laughing at a thing that you said that was very funny.
Yeah, we've got to say it's not like a really thorough...
No, it's pretty random.
Compilation. Yeah, it's just it's just four or five random clips that Mark chose, which I'll get him to talk through. But it's just great. If this is the first time you listen to our podcast or are new to the podcast, just listen to a few of these, and I think you'll enjoy it. Before we do that, we've had an email in. Mark asked the other day whether people were watching from anywhere, or listening, sorry, from anywhere around the world. And Claire... emailed in saying, "Dear Tim and Mark, I thought I'd drop you a line after Mark called out for your international listeners. I've been an avid listener for a year or two. I'm from Widnes, but I've been at home and fully integrated in my little Australian village of Bad Hall."
Austrian.
What an interesting name. What did I say?
Australian. You're doing your old sucker AM joke there. G'day, mate.
G'day, mate. Austrian. Yeah, sorry. Little Austrian village of Bad Hall in Upper Austria for the past 20-odd years, but when you walk through my door, you enter a little enclave of England. I was made up when I discovered your podcast the other summer. It's just so lovely and British, your meandering chats with each other.
Is that a
good thing? Listening to a couple, I don't know. It's like listening to a couple of mates chatting. And you keep me in touch with the trends back home. I love it. I never got round to it, but I so wanted to get in touch after hearing one of your earlier podcasts about affairs and cheating, as I'm pretty sure I have the most unbelievable story of being cheated on ever. But that's another story. No, Claire, we want to know.
That's another email is what that is.
Oh, Claire, you've got to email that in. Really. My isolation time started here in Austria. Good day, mate. A bit earlier than in the UK on 16th of March. Thankfully, as it seems to be well under control here, the healthcare system is excellent and coping well. From next Monday, we will have to wear masks when in supermarkets. Mark, have you started wearing a mask in the supermarkets yet?
I haven't. We haven't actually been able to get hold of them. They've all sold out.
Okay.
Have you got any?
Yes, I have. One of my neighbours gave me one, and I've sort of been wearing it because I've sort of feel like it might be the thing to do.
It's the absolute norm now. Everyone's wearing them. We've been trying to get hold of them and we can't. So,
well, some people are citing the fact that a lot of the countries in Asia are getting control over it because they're so used to wearing the masks.
Exactly.
And it's not just. With the germs going in, it's also you putting the germs out if you actually have the virus. Anyway, she goes on to say, "I was very worried about my family back home. My parents are both over 70. The significance of the situation didn't seem to be clear to them for a long while. So very glad the isolation measures have been put in place in the UK. I've been using my isolation to set up a WordPress blog. I'm doing Udemy courses. What are those? Lots of running, walking, body coach works, workouts. Isn't it great? He's gone global. Yeah, he's a lovely bloke. Really like him. And all the best to you too. Keep up the good work. I love your special guest, but also enjoy the podcast with just the two of you. There are not enough of these. Well, there's been plenty of these over the past week
Absolutely,
or so.
Absolutely, there has.
Especially Grace and Rose joining us. That's from Claire, who's in
Thank
Austria.
You, Claire. Lovely to hear from. Lovely to hear from people around the world. Please send more of those in.
We would love to hear from you, yeah, wherever you are in the world.
And also, Claire, another email about the story you mentioned at the top of the email, please.
Yeah, about being cheated on. Right, Mark, so let's get on with these clips. What's the first one?
Okay, well, the first one is a comedian, Russell Kane. He came in a couple of years ago, and he was just... He was hilarious from start to finish. I remember my head hurting from laughing so much. And he told us a piece of advice that his gran gave us, gave him. And it's very, very rude. It's there's the worst swear word in here, but I would say funny, so justified. Do you remember this?
It took us by... It was a beautiful delivery. It took us by surprise, and we laughed so much. Let's listen to it. This is Russell Kane.
Now, there's questions we ask everyone who comes on, so mm-hmm. Are you okay to answer these for us?
Bang them out, my man.
What advice were you given that has been invaluable to your life?
So in the three years that I lived with my nan... between the ages of 19 till I got to university, we were talking about earlier. I am a very lead with the head emotional person. I can't find my keys. Ah, where are my keys? My day's ruined. Oh my God, I've been dumped. Oh my God, I didn't get that TV show. My life's over. So whenever anything happens like that, I use the advice my nan gave me. Apologies for the language, but it's a good life motto. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and you're a cunt. But I've tried substituting other words, but no other word worked.
Your nan used to say that.
So
to
when
you.
It was sometimes when I'm self, I'm not talking about if something bad happens to you, but I'm talking about, you know, like say I'm bitching because I didn't get the thing I wanted, or the car I went for is out of stock, and I'm in a bad mood. And that's when that comes back. I can hear her.
That's brilliant.
And she'd be alive and strong if she hadn't drunk herself. My nan's older sister's still alive.
Really,
Auntie Eileen's fucking banging them out still lines.
You should. That should make a self help book.
That's but that, you think that's most definitely. A lot of self help books like that? I've just said acceptance.
That was so brilliant, you know, that was such comedy timing on it as well. It was such a beautiful moment. I love the fact that he says, you know, I've tried other words, but you've actually got to use the word for the correct impact. And absolutely brilliant. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And really enjoyed his company. He was so
I used to work with him,
Did you?
Yeah,
he used to that's right.
He produced his radio show on Radio 2, and it was just a joy. He's so fun. He's so... he's got so many ideas because he was a copywriter, obviously, as he says in the interview. He just launches ideas at you, and he's got hundreds a second. It's amazing.
And if you listen back to that interview, he does this great thing about how to perform to an audience as well.
Yeah.
So if you ever have to do speeches in front of people, then, you know, he gives you some great tips on it. Well worth listening to that. What's the next clip, Mark?
Well, that clip ends on the word acceptance. He said basically that what his nan was saying is just learn acceptance. And I think this tees up nicely. I've done this on purpose. Going into the next clip, which is Megan Heim, which is a huge favourite. This episode was a huge favourite of ours. And she was a huge favourite guest of ours. And she basically talks about the premise of her book and learning acceptance, which I think was the thing that bowled you over the most about her book, wasn't it? And the thing that you took from her and her book.
I've read a lot of books. I didn't read a lot when I was younger, but in my older age, I read a lot of books. I've read a lot of books, self-help books. Megan Hines' book seriously had the biggest impact on me that I've out of all of them, 100%. And I still cite it as life-changing experience reading her book. And I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. And it's when sometimes you read something or you hear something, it just
clicks,
pushes a switch. Yeah, it just pushes a switch in your brain. And her book definitely did. Let's hear all about it. This is the bit that made me sit up and take notice and change my life. This is Megan Hine.
So I read an article about you, and because I like getting people on this podcast who inspire us and have something to say, I ordered your book and I picked it up. And just from the first page, I'm going to read the first paragraph of your book. I was like, wow. And I just read it for 2 days. This is the first bit. There's a popular rule of three, you'll hear, if ever you go on a survival course: 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. I'd like to add another 3 seconds without thinking. There you go. And then you say, because nothing will kill you quicker in the wilderness than switching off and making a bad decision. Now, you take that theory and you take it through into our modern life, which is the thing which really got me. It was the simplicity of it all in a nice way that I really like. So the book is a self-help book, really, isn't it? But with lots of stories about your adventures.
Yeah, so the idea was triggered really by a couple of questions. So from a very young age, I used to read the typical sort of explorer books, Shackleton, Oates, Hilary and Tenzing, all these amazing books. And I remember just being so fascinated by them and the physicality of, the hardships that these explorers was enduring. Sort of went without saying, they were sort of very cleverly worded within these books. But the thing that was missing, and even as a child I recognised this, was the fact that they very rarely talked about their emotions and how they overcame, quite extreme situations that would break a lot of people. But they very rarely talked about how they overcame those things and how they dealt with those emotions. And then through my own experiences of, guiding other people, and through my own experiences of, being dropped into wilderness situations where you have to think really fast on your feet, I've realised that actually what I do is I separate out my emotions and I have to put them in a box. So that I can get on and do, what needs to be doing at the moment. If I'm dealing with, for example, a road traffic accident, you can't have those overwhelming emotions. You can't let, the horrendous things that you might be seeing get in the way. I think people like paramedics, A&E doctors must do the same sort of thing. And they're faced with pretty horrendous sort of extremes of suffering. You have to be able to do something with those emotions so that you can actually focus on the here and now. And it was like, well, actually, those things, can you take the ways of those coping mechanisms into everyday life?
So what made you write it?
Well, I was actually really fortunate in that I'd done an interview for, I think it was the Guardian newspaper. And off the back of that, I had several literary agents get in touch.
All right. Well, it's good. I mean, because the two bits which stick out, I've read a lot of self-help books and I read a lot of books for this podcast. Two bits which stick out are acceptance and responsibility. Can you explain acceptance in survival? Because it's a big bit of the book, isn't it, really?
Yeah, so acceptance to me is not accepting something to then give up on it. For me, acceptance is all about accepting the situation you're in. Because once you accept something, the world opens up. The sort of blinkers are removed. I mean, for example, if you were trying to fight your way through a door, this locked door, you're hammering on it and you can't get through it. But you're so focused on it that it's all about getting through that door. But actually, once you accept, okay, I can't get through this door, and you step back, and suddenly, the blinkers are off, and you actually see there's a window next to the door that you can actually climb in through.
The bit that I like, though, is that, and I'm not, the idea that you're out in the wilderness, you're out in nature, up a mountain, or you're in a jungle, and you injure yourself. If you don't accept that quickly, you're going to die.
Yes.
Which is basically your book, which is what I loved so much because it summed it up so much. So if something horrible happens to you, you accept it, you move on. Now, we've created this ridiculous human world where nature doesn't really exist anymore. And so the other day I got stopped for doing a little bit of speeding on my Vespa. I was only going a little bit over there. But your book came into my mind immediately because it's like, it's happened, accept it and move on, rather than go, I'm a victim. I'm not really, and I thought that was the beauty, because it's true in nature, you die. If you get injured and you sit there thinking you're a victim, nature will kill you.
It's true. And I think, you're when you're out in nature, if you're in that sort of survival situation, often you're on your own. alone. Yeah, I think the way society is now, it's almost like we're bubble wrapping people, and people are more willing to, or more able to, play the victim, and with their, because they accept it, or they expect that somebody's going to come and rescue them and sort them out. So, you know, it's everybody else's fault but your own. But once you, if you keep fighting that, you know, you're never going to move forwards.
Yeah, you talk about being a victim, don't you? And you're sitting there thinking, I'm a victim here. And it's like, it is what it is. Get on with it.
Yes, yeah. The victim mentality is can totally destroy you.
So acceptance is the biggest key to life, that and taking responsibility for your own life. In every single situation, I've got this in my kitchen, Mark, I've got this one, you know, because you come here all the time, I've got this wonderful, lovely pure white top, which is a top of an island. And
there's a few little felt tip pen marks on it, isn't there, though?
Well, there were from, but it's a lovely modern material, so you can always get them off. However, when I was setting this up earlier, I dropped the base of the microphone on it, and I've chipped it. And the thing is, it's like there is literally nothing I can do about it, and I just have to accept now that I have a top and it has a chip in it, and that's all you can do, because you can't change it. And if I want to change it so badly, and I'm going through all those emotions to go, what can I do about it? How can I change it? I literally can't. So I just have to accept the fact that it's chipped. I remember there's been two occasions.
Oh, don't, Mark, you? No, you're going to want during it.
During the podcast. Oh, yeah, you're one going of to, them aren't was.
You?
One of them was where my dear friend and colleague, Mark, I had this beautiful thing. I did up my kitchen. I had this, what do you call those things? They're called
neon
lights. That's the one. So I've got this beautiful neon design, and it's fantastic. It's huge. It sits in my kitchen. I love it. I really do love it. And you switch it on. It's beautiful. And Mark one day went a little bit close to it, leant down, his shoulder touched it, and smash. He broke it. And I don't want to be uncouth, but it was quite expensive. We were literally just about to interview Reverend Richard Coles.
Oh.
Coles. And so Mark, I was funny because it was like, what can I do? I just have to accept this. And I was
the air in front of a reverend. The air was particularly eggy that day, wasn't it? And then when he left, there was right, we're going to have a sit down and chat about this, aren't we?
But it was funny because it was weird because I hated the situation because I loved it so much, but I didn't hate Mark because I knew it was an accident, and there's a bit of me which like was angry with
him. No, you said you hated me.
No, I didn't. Yeah, you did. Asshole. And I never did. Because I accepted it. And I tell you what, if I hadn't had Megan's book, I would probably have lost the plot there. But that's all you can do in life. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, you just have to accept the situation. And until I'm blue in the face, I tell my children that. It took me a long time to learn that. It took me till I was well in my 40s before I learned about acceptance. But it's the key to life. Acceptance and also taking responsibility for everything that happens to you in your life. And, you know, you buy something like a kitchen island, you've got to expect damage to happen to it. Take responsibility for that. Mark, what's our next clip?
Well, actually, what I'm going to do now is maybe cut to a quick ad break, and then we'll come
Perfect.
Back after that. Yep.
Let's do that.
Okay, well, I'll roll it now then.
Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q-U. Turn on the cooker. And instantly make a brew. Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q-U. Turn on the cooker. Hot water for vegetables too. La la.
Yeah, this podcast is sponsored by Cooker, spelt Quooker, pronounced Cooker, 100-degree boiling hot water straight from a kitchen tap. It does your normal common old hot water. It does your normal common old cold water. You can mix it to make it warm, but it also does 100 degree boiling hot water. It does it does still filtered water chilled, and it does chilled sparkling filtered water too. Absolutely fantastic. I love mine. You can make brews with it. You make your pasta, your rice, already on the boil, and all your vegetables. It also helps you if you're cleaning, because you can get that boiling hot water straight onto it. It's friendly for the environment because it works with vacuum technology.
Have you looked that up
Mark
yet,
will explain. Mark will explain all about vacuum technology now. We have no idea what it means, but it basically can keep it hot whilst putting new water in. It doesn't have to keep reheating it. So like a kettle, you have to keep on reheating the water. This just heats it once and then keeps it pressurized in a vacuum somehow and keeps it hot. So there you go. Invented in the 70s, I believe, in Holland, and is now popular.
Pride of place in your kitchen.
All over the world. I love it. Thank you very much for Cooker for sponsoring the podcast. It really does help. Mark, who's the next clip from?
Next clip is Patterson Joseph. Patterson Joseph is an actor. You'll know him most probably from Peep Show, where he plays Johnson. And he came in.
He's been in everything, Mark. He's been in so much stuff. You'll know there's so many things.
Isn't he? He's brilliant. Oh, he's absolutely brilliant. And he was a really, really nice chap. And he came in. He was talking about his stage play, which sounded fascinating. I hope he does that again soon. And but the thing I liked about this, you're in the 80s and 90s, you were big into fashion, you were big into music, and it was just a really nice chat between you two, sort of comparing notes on different styles, different bands, and of course the Specials. And so yeah, it was just I just really enjoyed the chat, and I thought it would be nice to hear it again.
What I love about it, and this comes up in the chat we have, is when he talks about the markets, because we used to buy our clothes in the market. So, you know, fashion, I suppose, moved on a bit. But years ago, you'd go to Wembley Market or Watford Market to buy your clothes, whatever it was, you'd go. And that's where everyone would hang out. It's kind of weird how that culture doesn't seem to be as prevalent now.
No.
Maybe it is, and I don't know about it, but it seemed to have moved into the high street shops away from the markets.
Anyway, now online.
Here he is, Pat. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Stupid. Yeah, that's why, because it's all online. Yeah. Oh. All right. The marketplace was the original online. All right, here it is. This is Patterson Joseph.
I was into a band growing up called The Specials.
Okay, yeah.
And you still cannot, I cannot stress, I told my child, I make my children listen to it all the time, listen to them, and you can't stress how important for me that band was, and for the country, that you had a band with white and black people in it together.
Yeah, who played great reggae.
Playing
music, by the way.
Amazing songs, which was half ska, half punk.
That's right.
You know, joining it together, making the greatest sound, the two-tone label, which had The Selector on it. And, you know, they'd signed loads of stuff to begin with on the, you know, I think Madness put their first record out on the two-tone label and stuff like that. And, the, you know, all those bands of the Body Snatch and all those guys. But it was just, that scene was absolutely, came out of the Midlands was incredible. And that music as well brings it all together.
Completely. I mean, UB40, that era, for me, that was like, and, you know, you had Bob Marley playing with UB40. And obviously The Specials and The Clash. And this was the most eclectic music Britain would ever have seen. I mean, you had music coming from Jamaica, from America, obviously, but music from the regions. I mean, not just Liverpool. There was music coming out, as you say, of the Midlands, but there was music coming out from Scotland. There was music coming from Northern Ireland. I feel like it was the most eclectic period. And politically, the youth, to me, all seemed on song. And you also had lots of differences, that's the thing. I had a mate who was Italian, we were about 14, and this is punk era, and there were kids who were beginning to put, you know, staples drawing pins in their clothes, like just sort of doing their pockets, like just trying it out, that beginning of that. And another mate, he was a completely, my Italian mate, Antonio, he was a teddy boy. So he was training his hair. It took him ages to train his hair to get it into that big quiff. Weeks and weeks of it, like a black lady, you know, really kind of so careful and meticulous with it. And then you had people like me who were into soul, So, you know, we would get the cheapest clothes we possibly could, plastic sandals, and we'd go dance, you know, at the Electric Ballroom in Camden. And that was our scene. But then you also had, you had skinheads, and you had, yeah. But they were coming together with the music. That was the amazing thing about that period. Very different sort of genres, but we all got together over music.
Yeah, they were, but there was also a nightmare on the tube. Every time you travelled around, you would be scared you're going to bump into other people who didn't like what you were wearing. There was, the tube was a nightmare back years ago, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, yeah, you're
get
right.
On the, you go on right. The tube. Well, the new question I ask on my podcast, I've just decided to start asking after I interviewed Gizzy and Johnny Vegas, is have you ever identified as anything? Have you ever been something like a mod or a rocker or a goth or something? A soul boy? Is that what
yeah,
you identify
Yeah, I mean, largely,
as?
I would say, but I was never let go of reggae, and I would go out to the clubs and pretend to be what we called a sticks man.
Oh, but what's that?
Oh, sticks man. I just never could afford it, but it was basically you had to wear, it's reggae clubs now, they're dancing to Lover's Rock, so the softer kind of reggae that's coming out of London now,
right.
And Birmingham and other urban centres in the UK, and a mixture of Jamaican stuff, but ours was very soft, very beautiful, lots of women. Janet Kay, for example. Silly Games is a good example.
Okay, yeah, I know that.
Love's
yep.
Rock. So you'd have these guys dressing up head to toe, right? So it would have to be a Gabici shirt.
Yes, Gabici, a bit of that.
If you're going casual.
From the market,
if you're
Farris.
Going casual, Farris slacks.
Oh, God, what you got on your feet?
They would have to be a Cecil G suit.
Okay.
And then you'd have to have... crocodile skin or lizard skin shoes.
No.
And we're talking about 1978, 79.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was doing a paper round. So my clothes were all sourced from Wembley Market.
Yeah, well, that was where everyone's clothes came from. Yeah. Watford or Wembley Market, yeah.
I love Patton Joseph. He's such a smart man. Just learned so much off him. I could spend so much time in his company. You know, every minute is an education. You just have to ask him something and he can educate on it. And also a fantastic actor. Have you watched any of Noughts and Crosses, Mark?
I have not. What's this?
Oh, it's a drama which is on, I'm not sure which channel it is, Terrestrial TV, one of the channels where...
Okay.
He's fantastic in it, as always. He's just a great actor. Right, what's our next clip?
Well, our next clip is... morose, funny, utterly disgusting. It's Johnny Vegas. And he tells us about how his career in the early days wasn't going so well. And then he did a thing. And I mean, to explain it, it probably ruins it. So we should probably let the clip and Johnny talk for himself, maybe.
Can I just say what's the most interesting thing about the interview with Johnny Vegas? And if you haven't heard it, listen back to it. You get to meet Michael, which is yes. Who Johnny Vegas really is. And the amount of tweets we had afterwards, it's one of our most successful podcasts ever, where people said it's really lovely to meet Michael. He gets very emotional on the interview, and he really bears his soul. That's kind of a bit of an overused expression sometimes, especially in the podcast world, but Michael really does. But this is Michael talking about Johnny. It's disgusting.
I died in 97 in Sorry Think You're Fun. No, 96, 95, Sorry Think You're Funny. Died the death of death. In front of all my heroes in a room up in Edinburgh.
And still wanted to go back.
It destroyed me. I think it was a making of me, because it was like, well, now you don't have a career in this industry. Go back, and the one gig, the regular gig you've got in St. Helens, do what you want to do. Let Johnny off the leash. Because you... nobody's going to employ you. So did at least you can do the stuff you want to do.
So did your act get wilder and wilder then?
I don't know if wild is... there's things I've done.
There's a lot of rumours.
There's stuff of... Yeah, yeah, there was one on stage. I did poo on the stage. All right.
Why am I laughing
But I did
that?
It. No, I did it genuinely, because I had a reviewer from the Liverpool Echo... And I said, oh, you must be the comedy reviewer. And he said, no, I normally do pet shows. And I went, right. And I went, why are you here? And he went, nobody else wanted to come. And we were at that point in the stage, you know, in the talk where everyone's got a bit of cabin fever and we're all losing. You've been living in a van for a month.
Yeah.
And all I did was recreate Crofts. So I had somebody walk me around as a dog. And I said, you know, it's going well, it's going well. His tail's, oh, he could be in trouble, he could be in trouble. Squeezed out the tiniest amount of poo. Now, bear in mind, at this time, Jane Oryx was touring with Hamlet and she was peeing in a helmet and that was considered art. What I did was considered crass. But it was my answer to the Liverpool Echo at the time of, don't send a guy who reviews pet shows to review what we're doing. At the end of the gig, it all kicked off and everyone was stood round it. Honest to God, you'd think it was plutonium. Nobody could near it. And I tried to convince them that it was Nutella and that it was a prop. But my techie Jex was stood there nodding and I went, it's Nutella, innit? And Jex nodded. I went, Jex, just pick it up. And Jex went, and he just shook his head and walked off. So I had to pick up my own feces and pretend it was Nutella and act casual.
And
the best thing was the phone call with the promoter when he went, heard you shot on stage tonight. And you're going, I did, but trust me, it warranted it. And he went,
I love Johnny Vegas. Another one who just, I love spending time with him. He just is so, he's so funny and he's so engaging. He's such a nice person. Yeah. Genuinely one of the nicest people you'll ever get
to
meet.
Do you remember that day? It was
vividly, yeah.
So hot.
And we were recording it. A lot of podcasts were done in hot weather, that's for sure.
We were recording it, we were doing it live on YouTube at the time. Do you remember? And it was just the hottest day I can remember. And I was going off to see him, Liam Gallagher, afterwards, which is how I remember it very vividly. And we ended up a little bit drunk, didn't we?
Did we?
Yes. You bought him champagne beer and we cracked it open.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right. I've forgotten all about that. It's interesting because I always buy my guests a present. I think it's the least I can do for them coming in and giving us a bit of their time. And a few of them have cracked it open. Yeah. Like Peter Blexley.
Yes.
That's
oh,
a
that
good
was
one.
A drunk podcast as well.
Yeah, I said, here's a bottle of red wine. He goes, okay, let's drink it then. Cool. So that was good. What's our final clip, Mark?
Well, again, it sort of speaks for itself without ruining it. It was one of your random words that you do on the podcast and or were your bits of life hacks, pearls of wisdom, things they don't teach you at school. And for some reason, it hit a nerve for me because it just sounded so dunderheaded. But I look back on it and it's actually a pretty good bit of advice. But at the time, just found it very funny. And I found it uncontrollably funny, as you'll hear. And the laughter was infectious and you started laughing as well. And we went into a slow decline of laughter, basically. Hey, it's funny. Yeah.
It was one of those moments that, you know, again, one of those ones that I've had so much feedback from on social media because I don't know, for some reason it just hit home because it's such a wonderful piece of advice.
So this
you
is
know, really.
This is the last clip. So this will play out and then it'll go into the intro, you know, the outro, you know, the bit of music at the end. So we'll say goodbye probably now.
Yeah, all right then, let's do that. Yeah. Let's say goodbye, enjoy this last clip, and for the time being, peace and love, Joy.
Bye!
This one's a good one. If you never put it, this is for smokers, by the way. This is for smokers who want to give up. If you never put another cigarette in your mouth, it will be impossible to ever smoke again.
Ha 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 ha
What's so funny about that? What's so funny about that? It's true.
Is that it?
Yeah. You don't like that? Okay, it's the same for chocolate. You don't put it in your mouth, you can't eat it.
I think we should change this to Tim points out the bleeding obvious.
Thank you for listening to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, written and hosted by Tim Lovejoy and produced by Mark Augustin. If you would like to contact us, then our email address is dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Or Tim is on Twitter @TimLovejoy and on Instagram @TimLovejoy_official.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.